This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holdsworth is the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. He joins us every Monday afternoon to talk a little Virginia politics and keep us updated and informed. We get the smartest audience in the world thanks to folks like Bob Holdsworth. Bob, how was your weekend?
It was great, Coy. Hope yours was as well.
Indeed. I got to do a little fishing with the kids, so whenever I can do
that,
it's always a good weekend when I have time to go fishing. Bob, the latest I heard is that Republican nominee Bob McDonnell had a little slip of the tongue on WTOP radio out of Washington.
Yeah, that supposedly, and I think we've heard it on the internet, that McDonnell let out an F-bomb. I think he did it inadvertently. The Democrats have been trying to make a lot of hay out of that. I'm not sure what that will mean ultimately in the campaign. And given the fact that Democrats are trying to portray McDonnell as someone who is a Christianist, you might say, probably won't hurt him that he, you know, utters some earthy language now and then.
Yeah, it just makes him sound more real, as far as I'm concerned.
I think that, in fact, is the likely outcome of this, and I can't imagine it being a big deal in the campaign.
Yeah, I've certainly dropped my own F-bombs once in a while. Not on the radio, but certainly, I mean, who among us hasn't dropped a few bombs once in a while? So what's the latest? What's going on?
Well, you know, I think right now the campaign is kind of the same story that's going on, that McDonnell seems to have a little bit of a lead, that Deeds is struggling, I think, to find a very consistent message. Last week, the Deeds campaign issued some new ads criticizing Bob McDonnell, catch this, Coy, for supporting tax increases over time. So on one hand, I think it shows the Deeds campaign is really recognizing the importance of taxes and spending to this campaign. On the other hand, it's kind of an odd situation where on one week you criticize McDonnell for being a troglodyte conservative, and the next week you're essentially saying he's a closet liberal.
The Democrats are really struggling with the message, aren't they, Bob?
Yeah, I think so. That they really felt that they could simply run on the Warner-Cain legacy. And given the national mood at the time and the national climate, that's become far more difficult for them. And I think that the issue that they really need to be hitting here is the issue of fiscal responsibility, which the Democrats should have a pretty good message on in Virginia, but they're really struggling to get that. And most of the polls show on issues like taxes, spending, fiscal responsibility, McDonnell has remarkably a 15-20 point advantage on Deeds, and the Democrats have not been able to hit that. I think up to now what's happened is that people are looking at Deeds kind of like a Washington Democrat. He says he won't raise taxes, but maybe he will. And I think that Democrats typically win in Virginia when they at least take that issue of fiscal responsibility off the table, where people don't see a clear difference between them and Republicans. That was instrumental for Mark Warner in 01. It was instrumental for Doug Wilder back in 89. And right now, Deeds is struggling to recapture that theme, which has served the Democrats so well here in the Commonwealth.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth. It's Monday afternoon, our little Virginia politics update. You can read Bob's works and his insights anytime online at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, you had an essay recently about BlackBerry politics. What was this all about?
Oh, well, this was a kind of halfway tongue-in-cheek one, but halfway serious as well, Coy. You might recall when Obama came into office, there was this hope that we'd be entering this period of bipartisan cooperation. And the symbol of that was Eric Cantor, our congressman from the 7th District, and Rahm Emanuel going over and talking to one another regularly on their BlackBerries. And they suggested that they wouldn't always agree, but they'd agree to communicate. And then last week, of course, Barack Obama, President Obama, gives his talk on health care. You have the explosion out of Joe Wilson saying that he's a liar on national television during the speech. And then the camera cuts to Congressman Cantor, and he's pushing away on the BlackBerry. And, you know, I just suggested I didn't think he was communicating with Rahm Emanuel on this front. And a lot of people in the national media saw it as an insult that you would have Republicans thumbing their BlackBerries while the president was speaking. Now, Congressman Cantor said no insult intended. He was simply taking extensive notes. But, you know, my sense is that right now the public is really pretty fed up with a lot of Washington. A recent poll showed that 57% of people would like to kick all the Congress people out. Maybe that's not so different from what's traditionally there. But I think if I joked that if a politician got on their BlackBerry and sent the public a message saying they were really going to try to address the issues the public cares about, you might get a better response right now. But it's pretty poisonous up there. That poison starting to affect Virginia a little bit as well, Coy.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Where do you see this poison trickling down from Washington, Bob? Is there any place you can point to?
Yeah, I think if you take a look at how the campaigns are going to get organized and funded, that what you're finding is that the Republican Governors Association and the Democratic Governors Association, they're spending millions of dollars to fund ads, and most of their ads are just these very brutal attack ads. And they remind me a lot of what happened a few years ago when Congressman Norman Sisitsky died in the 4th District. They had a special election. It only lasted 5 weeks, but the national parties poured in $7 million, and they were all filled with these brutal attack ads against Forbes and against Louise Lucas, who was running against Randy Forbes for the seat. And it was as if this kind of Washington politics bomb had been dropped on the 4th District for 5 weeks. And you're kind of seeing that, I think, when you see the ads that these respective national associations put into Virginia.
Is this the normal? This is the normal thing, though, isn't it? I mean, I remember, you know, I don't remember, but when Thomas Jefferson won the presidency in his inaugural address, he said, you know, he talked about what we would call bipartisan cooperation. You know, he said, we're all Democratic Republicans, we're all Federalists, we're all together, you know, we're all Americans, we need to work together. You hear that from the party in power when they're going in, and then the party out of power tries to take them down at every possible turn.
Yeah, and I think what happens, you know, clearly partisanship is an essential part of American politics. Politics is always going to be fairly rough and fairly tough-minded, and I think people have to recognize that. I think what's happening, however, is that, you know, just take a look at what occurred with the president and his talk to the school kids. It is hard to imagine that 25 years ago or 30 years ago, let's say John Kennedy or, you know, Ronald Reagan were going to give a talk to American school kids, and all of a sudden the party out of power would be protesting that this was some ideological propaganda to, you know, find some way of brainwashing our kids. And so, you know, all of a sudden, you know, if the president's going to give a message telling kids to work hard, do their homework, you know, and brush their teeth, that now becomes heavy ideology. And I think it's an indicator of where we are today.
Yeah. We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, tell us more now about the race for the governorship here in Virginia. You had an article on September 11th called It's All About Bob.
Yeah, I think that if you take a look at what's been happening over the last few weeks, the Credees have yet to develop what I would call a very clear and powerful identity with the Virginia public. That most of the discussion so far is really taking place, for good or for ill, you might say, about Bob McDonnell. So McDonnell largely, I think, been dominating the campaign. And then we had the 2 weeks of arguments about whether his thesis as a graduate student regent was relevant or not. And if you just put that aside for the moment, what you still see is that the whole campaign is still about McDonnell. And my sense, if that's the case, he's really going to win. Because when it comes down to it, and he gets on television, he's on one-on-one debates with Gree Deeds, it's going to be very difficult for Deeds to suggest that this person is really kind of a political nutcase that is unqualified to be the governor of Virginia. So my sense, of, again, is that the Democrats might be barking down the wrong tree here with this argument. They need a more positive argument. They need an argument about why Gree Deeds is the best person qualified to be governor. They need to be an argument why the Democrats are the best to handle the Virginia economy right now. And my thinking is that this effort to portray McDonnell as so far out of the mainstream that he's simply unqualified to be governor, just the way, let us say, the Democrats were successful in 97 portraying Mike Farris as unqualified to be lieutenant governor. But that guy was, you know, he was the national counsel for the homeschooling movement. He hadn't had a long commitment to the public schools. Very different than the political record of Bob McDonnell. So my sense right now, the whole race is about McDonnell. And if that's the case, it's going to be difficult for Deeds to win. He really needs to change the nature of this campaign over the last 7 weeks, make it more about Cree Deeds and his ideas about moving Virginia forward.
We were talking earlier, and this is, you know, campaign politics 101. If you got something negative about your opponent, you hit that hard, but then you do the jujitsu trick and turn it around and something positive about yourself. And we haven't seen that from the Deeds campaign.
Well, we haven't seen a consistent, clear message from the Deeds campaign. I think that's the issue, that, as I said, they were very comfortable running as, you know, they're the heirs to Warner Cain. But about what? What are they going to do as the heirs to Warner Cain that distinguishes them from the Republicans, distinguishes them from Bob McDonnell, and makes Cree Deeds particularly qualified to be governor? I just think these legacy arguments, standing as they are, kind of alone, without much content, it's not working very well. And let's give an example here. Transportation. Somebody in the Deeds campaign, fairly high up, told me this. They said the distinction right now, they said, is Bob McDonnell has a D-minus plan. It's not a very good plan. They said we don't think the money in the plan will ever materialize. But they also said that our own plan, we don't have one. And they said, so right now it's a D-minus versus nothing, and D-minus is winning.
Oh, man.
And that, I think, is some of the difficulty that Deeds has. I don't think after 8 years of not making much progress in transportation, simply saying that you're going to call a special session, you're going to bring people together, and then you're going to make sure that the legislature develops something that's reasonable, strikes people as a very innovative, creative approach to being a gubernatorial leader. I think Deeds still has a little time. I think the public is going to give him a fair hearing, but he needs to get out there with his own ideas in a very concrete way, and show people that he really has some clear distinction between him and McDonnell that redound to his own favor.
Yeah, and let's admit the obvious here, that no matter who wins, their hands are going to be tied to a great extent because of the economy.
Oh, and this budget in the state is very serious problem, Coy. You know, somebody told me the other day, a reporter asked me this question. They said, you know, don't you think both candidates, when they talk about spending new monies, are really in la-la land? Because if you take a look at what happened last week, Governor Cain had to come out and announce a new round of budget cuts. And what you see now, Coy, is this. You see that the rainy day fund in the state after next year will be essentially depleted. It'll be down to $300 million from something that was well over $1 billion. You'll see that we have federal stimulus dollars plugging holes in the state budget, dollars that will go away at some time. You will also see that Governor Cain has made a number of one-time adjustments to the budget that won't permanently close this shortfall. And then finally, you see even something like the state retirement system is going to be up for, you know, serious potential revision, because it's clear, I think, that Governor Cain and a number of legislators are going to call for state employees to contribute far more to the retirement system than they are currently. So what you're seeing is the continuing buildup of a very serious set of fiscal choices that are going to face the next governor. And to be honest about it, the campaign's yet to address very much of that.
Yeah. And it's a shame that that's the case, because that would be the obvious thing to be talking a great deal about. But instead, they're promising all this spending.
Well, it's always easier talking about hope and aspiration than telling people how you're going to eat your peas and what kind of sacrifice you're going to have to make. But it would probably be useful to at least know what the fiscal choices and fiscal priorities are. I think the candidates are starting to get around to that McDonald says, you know, when new money comes in, his top two priorities are transportation and higher ed. And I think Deeds is going to be asked, and we'll be able to answer the same question. But right now, that whoever is the next governor, that first budget that Tim Kaine will produce, and they'll have to modify very quickly when they come into office, the choices are going to be pretty tough. You've already seen UVA talk about some of the reductions they're going to have to make and some of the choices that they're going to be making, and all the colleges and universities and a lot of the state agencies are going to be in similar circumstances.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth. It's Monday afternoon. We talk Virginia politics with Bob. He is the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. You can check out his work anytime online, VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, you wrote recently that the whispering among some Republicans is that despite the big wins by some Democrats recently nationally and here in Virginia, that there's a chance Republicans might even pick up seats in the House of Delegates.
They don't want to say this out loud, because they're afraid they're going to jinx themselves. But what's happened is that Republicans really can't believe the manner in which the national climate seems to have changed things in Virginia. So the House Republicans, as recently as maybe 90 days ago or 45 days ago, even, were very worried about whether they could retain their majority in the House. Today they think they're likely to do it. They know things can change pretty rapidly. And they're even whispering that, you know, maybe we can even pick up a couple of seats, largely because of the fallout in Virginia from the national numbers declining, not only for President Obama, but for a Democratic Congress as well.
Wow. And before we let you go, the breaking news today was that, no surprise, but interesting all the same, that the NRA had endorsed the Republican nominee for Governor Bob McDonnell.
Well, I think what was interesting about this, in some ways, you know, as you said, no surprise, that's often happened. But it didn't happen in 2005 when the AG's race, you know, in fact, Creed Deeds made a very, you know, has always been very clear that he's primarily a pro-Second Amendment Democrat, with some modifications that he's endorsed recently. In 2005, as you recall, he wasn't able to obtain the endorsement of former Governor Doug Wilder, largely because of his position on guns and because of the fact that Deeds felt that he could make some inroads in rural areas by keeping that position, even if it cost him the support of someone like Wilder. This year, what you're finding is that McDonnell gets the NRA endorsement, so even while running as a pragmatist, he's doing a pretty good job of consolidating the Republican base. And at the same time, Deeds, who is a rural Democrat himself, who's a person who's been heavily involved in putting forward a hunting and fishing amendment, doesn't get the NRA endorsement and is still struggling, at least at this point in the time, to fully consolidate or energize the Democratic base. So probably a pretty good day for Bob McDonnell, Coy.
Indeed. Bob Holdsworth, he's online at VirginiaTomorrow.com, the founder and president. He joins us every Monday afternoon to talk Virginia politics. Bob, thank you as always, and we'll look forward to chatting again next week.
Always great to be with you, Coy. You take care, okay?
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.